We're going to jump right in to this series that I would like to begin looking at. It's called More, which is the search for purpose. In case you haven't heard this enough times, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life. And that is sort of what we're going to be talking about today. And really, the thing that I want you to get out of today, I'm going to give you the bottom line. I'm going to give you the main idea for tonight, and then I'm going to unpack that for you a little bit. But here's the idea tonight. The idea tonight is this. We gain purpose by giving purpose, okay? We gain purpose by giving purpose. And when I think about purpose, when I think about this idea of purpose, as I talk to people about religion, as I talk to people about spirituality and their faith journey, a lot of times what I hear people say in many different ways is that they desire a purpose. They desire something in life to shoot for. They desire something greater than themselves. And this idea of purpose comes to mind when I think about a story that I want to share with you. I've shared this with many of you, but when I went to college for the first time, it was a very scary experience. When you are a new student in a new school and everything is new, everything about the classes, you don't know what to expect, you don't know what your dorm is going to be like, it's a very stressful experience. It's, you know, you're filled with anxiety. You don't know what's going to happen. And so I remember that I got dropped off early in the school. And it was the first time in my life that I had ever gone away from home. I was away from my family. I was away from my parents. It was scary. And I got there a few days early, and I started getting familiar with the campus. I started walking around, and of course, there were no teachers there yet. There were no classrooms. I just got my key to my dorm, and that's where I was. And then, out of nowhere, came this guy who has become a very influential person in my life. And have you ever had like a very impactful moment, but you didn't realize how important it was until later, right? Like you didn't realize like what actually happened until later. And so I didn't realize how influential this moment was. But anyways, he came out and his name was Stanley. And he was this great evangelist. He was a man of God from India. And he began to essentially take me under his wing. And he started showing me the campus. And he said, hey, you're new here. Let me show you around. And he showed me. I remember the first time he took me to the cafeteria and told me, you know, how to dump ice cream on a waffle, which I didn't know. I also remember that the first time that I tried Dunkin' Donuts. And it was because he took me to Dunkin' Donuts. Now, you know, in my culture, we never drank coffee with ice. That was just a weird thing to me. And, you know, the first time that I tried it, he said, look, here is an iced coffee. And my mind was blown. Can you guys imagine an iced coffee, like coffee with ice in it? That was just something new. And I thought I was really fancy walking with my Dunkin' Donuts full of ice. And I had never tried something like this before. And so Stanley made me feel at home. Stanley really influenced me in a positive way. He helped me to be more at ease. But there's another thing that Stanley did for me. Stanley began to welcome me into his life. He brought me to his room and said, this is my dorm. You can come and knock on my door if you ever need anything. But I also noticed that Stanley was different. Stanley stood out for some reason. There was something about him, something about him being a Christian. Now, I had met a lot of Christians, and I myself would have called myself a Christian at the time, and I had been around Christians all of my life and been in the church all my life. But there was something about this Christian. There was something exciting about his life. He was full of joy. He was full of humility, and yet he was also very challenging. And he challenged me. He began to challenge me in so many ways. He left an impact on my life. And as I think about today's topic about the search for purpose and about gaining purpose by giving purpose, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this relationship that I formed. And this relationship also makes me think of a story in the Bible about two people that have very similar names. Perhaps you've heard them. It is the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha. They are not the same people. It's a little confusing, but just hang on tight, and we're going to read this story, and we're going to learn a few things about this idea of purpose. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. And this is what that story says in this scene. It says, "Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River.' But again, Elisha replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you.' So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away.' And Elisha replied, 'Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor.' 'You have asked a difficult thing,' Elijah replied. 'If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't.' As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, 'My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel.' And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, 'Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' Then the river divided and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what had happened, they exclaimed, 'Elijah's spirit rest upon Elisha.' And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him." And so there are three things that I want to talk to you about in this topic as we talk about purpose, as we talk about how to discover more of God's purpose for our life. And the first thing is this. The first thing I want to talk to you about this evening is the power of mentorship. Somebody say mentorship. Mentorship is a very, very important idea. I was sharing about my friend Stanley, who, even though I did not realize it, began to mentor me. He began to take me under his wing in a moment where I was very scared and I didn't know what to do. He took me under his wing. He became my mentor, though I didn't fully realize what he was doing at the time. And I think there's something so powerful about being around someone with a purpose. And let me tell you, in this story, that is who Elijah is. Elijah is one of the great heroes of the faith. Elijah, you see, was a bold man of God. Elijah was someone who walked close with God. Elijah was someone who heard the voice of God. Elijah was someone further along in his relationship with God. Elijah was also someone with an assignment from God. You see, Elijah was a prophet or like an official spokesman for God. He was someone with a purpose. He was going somewhere. And so Elijah, because of this calling on his life, was someone who was different. Somebody say different. He was different. He was different. In fact, the Bible says that he was so different that he actually dressed differently. His appearance was different. The Bible says that Elijah was a hairy man who wore a leather belt. Now, can you imagine that? Now, today and age, we call those people hipsters, right? But back then, this was actually very weird, okay? If you were a hairy man with a leather belt, you kind of just stood out. He was just someone who stood out. I mean, you could point him out and say, hey, that's a weird man. Well, what is he doing with a leather belt around his waist? That's who Elijah was. He was different. And have you noticed that people who have a purpose in their lives, they kind of live their lives differently? Have you noticed that? They just live differently than other people. They don't really care what everybody else thinks. They're just going to live differently. And that's who Elijah was. Elijah represents that person that you look up to. Can you think of someone that you look up to? Who is that person in your life that you just, wow, you admire something about them? Whether it's the way that they, you know, get into reading the Bible. Maybe it's the way that they decorate their home. Maybe it's the way that they keep their belongings. You know, little things like that. You admire them. You're like, man, I wish I could be more like that person. And so that's who Elijah represents for us. And can I tell you, friends, that all of us, every person in this room needs an Elijah. Tell the person next to you, you need an Elijah. Okay? You need an Elijah. You need someone in your life who you can look up to. You need a mentor. We all need a mentor. In fact, one of the words that I often use when describing what a mentor is, I'm like, listen, you need a faith sponsor, right? You need someone who's further along, who you can look up to, and that will help you get to the next level. And we all need someone who's ahead of the game. We all need someone who will challenge our faith. And, you know, if you tell people, you know, you could really use a mentor, most people wouldn't think that that is out of the ordinary. But what is a little challenging sometimes is to understand that just the way that we all need an Elijah, we also all need an Elisha. We all need a student. We all need an Elijah, but we also all need an Elisha. We all need a student. You see, Elijah was not afraid of empowering other people. In fact, he had a group of people around him who he was influencing all the time. And so I want to talk to you about empowering other people. Sometimes this can be a challenging thing because oftentimes when you want to influence someone, you have to go out and find the person. And in Elijah's case, this is exactly what happened. He had to go out after hearing from God. He went out to find Elisha. Sometimes when you want to influence someone, people come to you. But other times you have to go out and find someone to influence because they may not know what is inside of them. And so you have to go out and find them because they may be hiding in shame. They may be hiding in hopelessness. They may be hiding behind superficial pursuits. And you have to go out and find them. You have to go out and find these people that you want to influence. And so this is exactly what Elijah does. The Bible says that Elisha was actually in the agricultural business. He was a farmer doing his own thing, going about his business. And then one day, out of nowhere, Elijah showed up. And you know what he did? He threw his cloak around him and told him, "Think about what I've done to you." He walked away. This is kind of odd. He just went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Now, let's be honest. If you were to do that today, just find some random person on the street and throw your cloak around them, you might get punched in the face, just so you know. You might get a few negative things said to you because this is not what ordinary people do. But this is what Elijah did. He was just that odd. He went up, he threw his cloak around him. He says, "Think about what I've done to you." He walked away. And it's strange to us today, but essentially what was happening is that Elijah was telling Elisha, "I see something great in you and I'm calling it out of you. I see something great in you and I'm calling it out. There is something unique about your life. I recognize the call of God on your life. You can choose to settle if you want, but there is much more that I see in you. I see something great in you." This is essentially what Elijah was doing in this very moment. We were recently reminded by a very well-known pastor the importance of saying what we see. You know, saying what we see. When somebody's doing something right, you want to tell them, hey, that was a great thing you did. Great job. Because that person may not know that they're doing something right. It's very easy to catch people doing something wrong. How many of you know that? But to catch someone doing something correct, operating in a gift that they may have, we need to tell people, hey, that thing that you did, that was awesome. Hey, keep up the good work. I like the way you did that. There is something powerful in recognizing the gifts and abilities that other people have. But there is also something powerful in sharing the knowledge that we've gained. You see, it's a great thing when you can make progress. You've been down and out. Now you're making a little bit of progress. That's great. But it's even better when you bring somebody with you when you're going up. That's even better. It's great when you've been following Jesus, you know, doing your thing, going to church. But after a while, if you don't start investing what you've learned into someone else, you run the risk of getting stuck. And in fact, that's what a lot of people do. And so there are people who are like, I just feel like I'm stuck. Why am I stuck? And a lot of times I'll ask them, well, who are you investing what you know into? You know, who are you sharing the knowledge with? It's awesome when you've been serving faithfully, you're serving on a ministry team. But after a while, I'd encourage you to be open to taking someone under your wing, teaching them, showing them what you know. That is a very important thing. There are many ups and downs in being a mentor. It's very difficult sometimes. I'm sure many of you can understand what I'm saying. It's not always the easiest thing, but the reward we gain when we mentor someone else is that we get greater purpose. We discover things about ourselves when we take someone under our wing. And so that is a very good thing. This is the power of mentorship. That's the first thing, the power of mentorship. But then there's a transition moment in the story where Elijah is about to be taken into heaven. Just a very weird way to go. I mean, if you're going to go, that's the way you want to go, right? You just get sucked up into heaven. And he says, right before he's taken away, Elijah says, tell me, Elisha, what can I do for you before I'm taken away? Elijah responds, well, I'd actually love a double share of your spirit, and I want to be your successor. And Elijah says to him, you have asked a difficult thing, Elijah. That's a tough one. That is you're shooting for the stars right there. And this leads me to the second thing that I want to share with you tonight. Go after difficult things. Tell the person next to you, go after difficult things. You see, he says to him, you have asked a difficult thing. He doesn't say you have asked an impossible thing. He says, listen, are you sure? Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you know what you're asking? This is a hard thing, but there is a way. And I just love that. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do, beginning in your prayer life, is to ask boldly. When you pray, ask boldly. See, Elijah knows something that Elisha doesn't. Elisha, who is just an interesting character, he knows that what he's asking is difficult, but he asks it anyway. I mean, he's been around this man of God. He knows this is a difficult job, but he asks it anyway. Elisha doesn't play it safe. Elisha doesn't go for what is easy. He sets his eyes on something difficult. And many times, I believe this is our tendency with prayer. Many times we're afraid to ask God for difficult things. Other times we are too polite when we pray. Other times it's like we feel like we don't want to ask God too much. We don't want to, you know, he's so busy running the universe and taking care of, you know, other planets. Like, does he really have time for me? Does he really have time to do something great in my life? And the answer is yes. And we need to ask boldly. And I love the boldness of Elisha in this moment. He essentially says, well, what do I want? I want your job and I want to do it twice as good. I want a double share or a double portion of your spirit. In another translation, it says that he said, I want your life repeated in mine. I want to be a holy man, just like you are. I want the things that are happening in your life to happen in my life. That's what I want. And that's a powerful thing to ask. And do you realize who he's telling this to? He's telling this to a man who prayed and caused a 3.5-year drought. He's talking to a man who prayed down fire from heaven. He's talking to a man who raised a widow's son from the dead. And Elijah says, I want twice as much anointing. What you're able to do, I want to do twice as much. And so he asks for it boldly. And can I ask you, if someone were to ask you today, would you know what to answer? What is your desire? Could you put it into words? If somebody asks you, what do you want me to do for you? And as I love praying for people for this reason. I always ask, what do you want God to do for you? Because we serve a big God. We serve a big God. And can I tell you something else? God can afford your dream. God can afford it. Whatever it is that you want to ask from God. And in fact, for Elijah, his desire comes true. As we read on in the story, he ends up doing more for God in his lifetime than Elijah ever did. It comes true. See, he was asking in that moment from Elijah, his mentor, Elijah, in order for me to follow God in my generation, I'm going to need the power of God that rests upon you. In fact, I'm going to need double. And I would argue that this is true in our situation. This is true in our time. These are difficult times. And we need the power of God more than ever before. And so he asks boldly. But there's another thing. He doesn't just ask something. He doesn't just kind of give lip service to it. Elijah, when we look closer, Elijah, man, he was relentless. He was ready to be tested when it came to his desire. And this is one of the things that we definitely need to step into. Is this, we need to be ready to be persistent. Because Elijah, even though he wanted something great, he was tested. Like any good student, Elijah would be tested by his mentor time and again. And here's very quickly something that he does. Elijah helps Elijah narrow his focus. He helps him narrow his focus. And this is something that mentors, good mentors often do. Here's a couple things for you to write down. Mentors help you get rid of your junk. Mentors help you get rid of your junk. Also, mentors bring clarity and help you prioritize competing agendas. There's a lot of stuff in our lives that is competing all the time for our time and attention. And mentors help us prioritize that. And also, they challenge us to leave behind lesser things. Because maybe we're pursuing things that are good, positive, they're okay, but there's much more in us. We're settling for less. And so what a good mentor will do is he'll point that out. And for Elijah, this was the case. I mean, when God called Elijah through Elijah, he had to really sacrifice. He had to give up his current occupation, his family ties, personal ambitions in order to pursue the dream that God had given him. And so when Elijah tells him, think about what I've done to you, what he's really saying is, you better think about this long and hard because it's going to be a very costly thing. It's going to cost you a lot. And in fact, it does. And so on our journey to do God's will for our lives, sometimes we need to leave things behind. In fact, we often have to leave things behind. And a good mentor helps you identify what it is that is getting in the way. And finally, he tests Elisha's commitment. See, Elijah wanted to know how bad he wanted this. In fact, 3 times he tries to leave Elisha behind in a different place. First, he tries to leave him behind in this place called Bethel, then in this place, Jericho, and then in this place, when he was about to go to Jordan, he tries to leave him behind again. And all 3 times, Elisha responds, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. In other words, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. I'm going to stay close to you all the way. And we can see that it really took a chariot of fire to tear them apart. this was Elijah's commitment. And this is often what happens when God tests our desire. And Elijah is relentless to the very end. And he's tested to the very end. Elijah, right before he leaves, up to the very last moments that he was around, he says, hey, listen, you've asked a difficult thing, but if you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, you won't. And this is a powerful reminder that many times we give up right before our miracle is about to show up. Can you imagine what Elisha would have done if he would have turned away? Or if he would have relented, if he would have said, okay, yeah, I'll stay behind. But he doesn't. He keeps on going after Elijah all the way because he wants to make sure that this opportunity doesn't pass him by. And the last thing very quickly that I want to share with you today, once you set your mind to going after difficult things, is this idea of taking on responsibility. Taking on the responsibility that God has for your life. Once Elijah is taken into heaven, his cloak and his mantle, the Bible says, is all that's left. Poof, he's just sucked up to heaven and his cloak is laying there on the floor. And now Elijah has a choice to make. Remember that this is his last opportunity to back out. There's the cloak. There's the thing that he's been praying for. And now he has to decide, will he take it on? Will he turn back? The cloak on the ground represents something for us today, which is both opportunity and responsibility. Because this is the thing that Elijah had been praying for. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And now this is the moment where he has the mantle of the man of God in front of him. And he has to make a decision. Is he going to take it? Is he going to leave it? But Elijah decides to take the mantle. And you know what? Sometimes I believe God works in this way. Oftentimes we pray for something and God responds by giving us an opportunity to do something. Let me give you an example. Many times I believe we pray God for vision and then he sends us a man or a woman of God that we can learn and serve under. Other times we ask God for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. And you know what God will do? He'll put you in a tight spot where you have to rely on wisdom outside of yourself. And then you call out to God and then he gives you wisdom. Or many times we ask God for justice. And then what God will do is he'll place you in a situation full of injustice so that you can be an agent of transformation in that place. Basically, sometimes we ask God to move that mountain and he provides you with a shovel and says, start digging, right? He provides you with that opportunity. And so picking up the mantle represents that moment when you decide to stop waiting for someone else to do God's will. And you start doing what is right. You start doing what needs to get done. And so Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak. And when he did, there was a release of power. From that moment on, Elisha became a different person. He began to walk differently. He began to do things differently. And this is, again, a reminder that there are things that we cannot tap into unless we take on that greater responsibility. So what happens next? Elisha goes back to the Jordan River. And he immediately puts into practice the things that he has seen. He saw Elijah smack the river and he does the same. He goes, takes his cloak and smacks the river. And then he asks, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And then the river divides. Showing that it wasn't really about the cloak. It wasn't really about the methodology. It wasn't how things happened. It was that Elijah was a man of God. Elijah was someone who God heard and miraculous things happened. And so now Elisha begins to do some of the same things. There's a level of authority that comes when we take that next step in our responsibility. And for Elijah now, that he's taken responsibility, there is a level of ability over his life that he had not seen before, because responsibility releases ability, right? Responsibility releases that ability for us to be able to walk in new levels of faith, new levels of growth. This is why I believe it's very important to be in the action. I remember the first time that I came to East Coast International Church, I immediately realized that this place was different because there was a lot of action going on. I remember I started doing my internship here several years ago, and I was just a student. I was wanting to get into the ministry, wanting to learn about church. And I remember that the first time I saw Pastor Joshua, he immediately put me to work. You know, he was like, okay, here's this broom. Go and clean out this driveway. And how many of you, there are some nasty things after a Saturday night out in the driveway, right? It's not all pretty. And I was like, okay, I haven't even introduced myself, but okay, I'm going to go and do that. And so I just started getting into it, and I started participating, and it wasn't always fun. I had to do a lot of things as an intern that now I look back on it, I'm like, wow, I can't believe we did all of that stuff together. I can't believe we renovated this and did that. But that was kind of the way that it happened. But in the process of being in action and serving and helping and doing things for God's kingdom, I began to learn things that I had not learned in a single textbook. I began to learn things about God and about people that if I read 100 books, I would have never learned what I learned by serving someone and by loving someone and by talking to people. And that is a beautiful thing. And so I believe that it's necessary for us to be on the front lines serving people, making ourselves available, because we get to learn things and we get to grow. Now, I understand that sometimes we need to be on the sidelines. You know, we have to catch our breath. But after a while, it's time to get back into the action, because the action is where it's at. You know, I always feel bad for those players that are on the sidelines during the Super Bowl victory. You know, it's like they didn't get to play. And all the players are lifting up the trophy, and, you know, inside of themselves, they're like, hey, I helped this trophy. You know, I played, you know, 2 minutes, but I played. But imagine the person that doesn't play at all. Well, that's no fun. I mean, you're getting all dressed up for nothing, and you're celebrating knowing that you didn't do anything. That's just horrible. You know, I feel bad for those players. But the action is where it's at. And God wants to get us back into the action, because he wants to release his power through us. He wants to release his power through us. And he wants to increase our purpose. And we gain purpose when we give purpose to others. So that's what I want to leave you with today. We gain purpose when we give purpose to others. Let me tell you something, and I know that I'm going to shatter one big lie of the enemy over your life. Your life, the way God created you, was for more than just yourself, for more than just survival, for more than just you being well off. God created you to be an influencer, to change other people's lives, to inspire other people outside of yourself. And so if you're thinking to yourself, I feel like I don't have enough, or I feel like I don't have a clear purpose, what I would say is you can't see your purpose because it's too big. Your purpose is so big that you can't even see it. You're so close to it that you can't distinguish it, but it's there. You have a purpose for your life, and it doesn't matter what you've done. I'm here to tell you that God is going to give you a second chance, and you need to be ready for it. You need to jump all over it, and you need to be persistent and be stubborn with it. And when other people tell you to quit, don't quit. Keep pursuing it. Keep going after it, because you're going to get it, because you're asking for a difficult thing, and that's why it's worth it. So God bless you, and I hope you enjoy your small groups.